This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning. I want to take a moment of personal privilege. I have three friends of mine who've joined us this morning. They just happen to be Methodist, and we love Methodist. So we're awfully glad you're here. Thanks for coming. In a world filled with fear and uncertainty, how do we trust in a presence we cannot see, yet desperately need? Today we have two stories so rich and full of wonder, they speak to our deepest fears and highest hopes. It's the tale of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and walking on water. Stories of both the miraculous and the mundane, the divine and the deeply human. These stories offer us deep lessons about recognizing, inviting, and trusting in the presence and the provision of Jesus in our lives. Invite Jesus in, and you'll find his presence transforms everything. You know, I've told you I like to try to put my sermon theme on a bumper sticker. You've probably already guessed today's bumper sticker. Invite Jesus in. So let's set the stage for this morning's gospel readings. Just before this scene in the gospel, Jesus cured a man who'd been ill for 38 years. Jesus told him to take up his mat and walk. What a marvelous thing, right? Not for the religious leaders of the day. You see, Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he told the man to take up his mat and walk. Both of those things were violations of Sabbath laws. Man's ways are not always God's ways. We must be careful that we don't fall into trust and dependence on our own provisions, missing Jesus among us. Invite Jesus in and he'll show you a better way. So now to today's reading. Picture the scene. It's Passover. As you know, the Jews frequently make pilgrimage to Jerusalem. So there are lots of people on the road. And they gather, thousands of them, on this hillside. Their faces turned toward Jesus. Their hearts hungry for his words, and their bodies weary with need. Jesus sees them, knows their hunger, and turns to Philip with a question that must have almost seemed absurd. Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat? Now Philip, being ever practical, calculates, well, it would take 6 months' wages for us to be able to feed this crowd. And then there's Andrew. Andrew finds a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. Obviously a meager offering among such great need. And I don't think Andrew gets enough of our attention. Remember, Andrew is the one who told his brother Simon Peter that I have found the one we've been looking for, the Messiah. And here, Andrew is the one who has faith. So Andrew and the boy with the 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, it's important to remember that barley was the grain of the very poor. It was the very poor that would have eaten barley. And the fish, this section of Galilee was known for their pickled fish. They were known actually all throughout the Roman Empire for their pickled fish. So you just had 5 barley loaves and 2 pickled fish. But Andrew believed and put his trust in Jesus. And there's a lesson here for us, my beloved. True ministry is about revealing God's abundance rather than just meeting needs. No gift is too small in the hands of Jesus. When we offer what we have, however humble, God can transform it into something extraordinary. Jesus takes the loaves, gives thanks, breaks them, and in his hands, scarcity becomes surplus, and everyone ate their fill. The miracle here is not just the multiplication of the food, but in the revelation of God's overwhelming provision. I think too often we focus on what we lack. Not enough time, not enough money, not enough energy. But the feeding of the 5,000 invites us to see through the lens of God's abundance. Invite Jesus in and watch him turn your scarcity into abundance. So after the feeding, Jesus retreats to the mountain to pray while the disciples head across the Sea of Galilee. Night falls, and with it comes a storm. The disciples, and remember, they're seasoned fishermen, struggle against the elements. But Jesus, from his place of prayer, sees them. He's not distant or detached. He watches over them, aware of their plight. Jesus sees us in our struggles, our darkest hours, our fiercest storm. His gaze is one of compassion and concern. We are never truly alone in our trials, for Jesus is always watching, always aware, always ready to come to our aid. Invite Jesus in, and his watchful presence will guide you through every storm. So in the midst of the storm, Jesus comes to his disciples walking on the water. Not just a display of divine power, but an act of profound love. He comes to them in their time of need, stepping into the chaos of their situation. And this, my beloved, is the heart of the incarnation. God, through Jesus, stepping into the chaos of our world, our lives, to bring us peace. My beloved, whatever storms you're facing, invite Jesus in and he'll meet you there. Of course, the disciples now are terrified at seeing Jesus walking on the water, and his words cut through their fear. It is I. Do not be afraid. Some translations have Jesus saying, I am. Do not be afraid, evoking God talking to Moses on the mountain. But I think these are words we all need to hear. In our moments of fear and uncertainty, Jesus speaks peace. We're reminded that recognizing Jesus in our midst and listening to his declaration of who he is crucial. Thank you. It transforms our fear into faith. Invite Jesus in and let his words transform your fear into faith. When Jesus steps into the boat, the storm ceases and the disciples immediately reach their destination. This is a powerful illustration of what happens when we invite Jesus into our lives and our boat. You see, Jesus watches, comes, helps, and brings safety. With Jesus, we can face life's challenges with confidence, assured that we will reach our God-ordained destination. Invite Jesus in, and he'll lead safely to your destination. God's command not to be afraid is a call to live courageously. As followers of Jesus, we're empowered to face our fears and uncertainties with confidence. Trusting in his presence, we can live boldly, knowing that he is with us every step of the way. Moreover, the feeding of the 5,000 teaches us to trust in God's provision, knowing that he will meet our needs abundantly. This trust transforms our lives and our witness. As we experience Jesus' calming presence and God's abundant provisions, we are called to share this testimony with others. Invite Jesus into your life, and your life will be a testament to his power and provision. I joined the Holy Biscuit group on Tuesday, and thank you, Tim, for your leadership with that group. And I asked them, why did they think our lectionary writers included both the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and the walking on the water? They could have easily stopped after the feeding of the 5,000 story, but they included walking on the water. And the comments there were that this was like a crescendo to the whole story. This was emphasizing Jesus' power and revealing who Jesus really is. I think that's an accurate summary of who Jesus really is and why we should invite him into our lives. So I would invite you this week to reread our gospel for today. Yes, I'm giving you homework. Our bishop often talks about using our holy imagination. So I'm asking you to use your holy imagination first to see yourself as Philip, the practical one. And then imagine yourself as Andrew, the person with faith, the little boy and the five barley loaves. Imagine you're in that crowd. It's big, you're tired, you're hungry, and you listen to Jesus' blessing, and then you eat till you're full. Then imagine yourself later in the boat, tossed by the waves, afraid, and then you encounter Jesus. You invite him into your boat, and you experience his peace. My favorite theologian, Dallas Willard, wrote in his book, Hearing God, "We must pray for the faith and for the experiences that would enable us to believe that such things could happen to us. Only then we'll be able to recognize and accept and dwell in them when they come." We must pray for the faith and for the experiences that would enable us to believe that such things could happen to us. Only then will we be able to recognize, accept, and dwell in them when they come. That's my prayer for you this morning, my beloved. As you reread these lessons for the week, have the faith to believe such things could happen to you. Invite Jesus into your life. Trust in his power. And when you do, you will find the peace and courage to face any storm, knowing that our Lord is with you and his provision is always more than enough. Amen.